This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
When you want to grow your business, use Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Seamlessly collaborate with your team using a suite of built-in tools and features to make your workday easier, like huddles to schedule impromptu meetings and avoid another calendar invite, or Workflow Builder, which lets you automate routine tasks so you can spend more time on the work that matters most. Slack. Grow your business here. Learn more at slack.com.
Welcome to the five-year plan pod extra on the marathon march.
Yay!
Hooray! I've done about 12 miles of walking today, but these guys have done 26, or very near 26. Really impressive stuff. How are you feeling, Julian?
We're feeling rock and roll, because at 22 miles, we made the decision to have a whiskey stop. Thank you, Kevin Day and Mr. Famous Grouse. Thank you, and we're perky. Perky, perky, perky. More perky than the porcine pig.
Yes, indeed.
Again.
Yeah. That's it. And nothing like swallowing a bit of Famous Grouse, is there? So.
Nothing like swallowing, I've been told.
Brilliant.
Julian, it's 2023.
Yes. That's not the time. That's
17.5.
Okay, we're coming up to a bit of trivial fact here. We're about to pass
not the pub you used.
The two brewers. And Kevin is about to tell you that when I was 17 in 1975,
oh God, here we go again.
We used to meet here at midday before a Palace game and drink lots of Shepherd Neame beer and then go out the Palace, and the pub has not changed. In fact, if we look through the door, I'll show you the very table.
Really?
Yes.
The exact table that you used to drink beer at.
Yeah, still there.
You used to be drunk under.
That's it, yeah.
Now, it's gone well, Rob. Thanks very much for asking. The team are good. We've had Andy Street, we've got Jesse Boyce, and we've got Kevin Hunter Day, and they've been very, very good. We're about to break our fastest ever time for completing the course. It's been a wonderful course. No hills, apart from the very, very first bit.
Yeah. We've got our youngest walker.
Cameron. We have.
Yeah. And he's currently in the pushchair.
And he's what's he talking a lot about?
Trains.
Exactly.
Trams.
And planes.
Trains. Lorries. Vans.
And automobiles.
That's it. He's and giraffes as well.
Giraffes.
We've seen the delights of Croydon's culture.
Yes.
That are the giraffes.
Yes.
But it's been one of those experiences, again, for you guys, where it's a lot of pain, isn't it, walking 26 miles? But it's worth it.
Rob,
We've seen 2,800 pounds raised so far.
Oh, it's wonderful, worth it. Rob, I don't want you to demean your own effort. I know you've had to. Your missus is away, and you've had Cam to look after. But you've joined us for about a third of this, and we love you for that. And you're very much part of this team. And the rest of us, you know, departed and left you behind at the first stop. But thanks for coming to meet us. Oops, sorry, Cameron crash. Thanks for coming to meet us back in Wadden and guiding us all the way home.
It's my pleasure. And the thing is that I would say,
here's the two bros.
This is always a highlight of the calendar, as much as it is something to dread slightly with regards to walking the distance, because it's such a great event to like see friends and actually get to chat to people that you very often chat to at football in a way that you wouldn't normally. And that's always the thing that I remember about the five, about the Palace for Life.
I think the other thing I think some of us have been saying today, we've been saying this isn't a 5-year plan pod thing. This is a Palace community thing. We're just proud to be part of it.
Yeah.
And proud to remember what kind of club we are and what kind of fans there are in this club. And we want to thank every single person that's put their hand on their phone and put a fiver in or a tenner or more, or whatever. Thank you so much, because it really means so much to all of us. So thank you.
And whatever money you can donate, we made this point on Twitter yesterday, but whatever money you can donate, whether it's £1 or £5 or £100 or £200, it's not about wealth.
It's not about the money, it's about the heart.
The heart.
And you can be a millionaire in non-money things, and that's what we like to think we are. We are non-financial millionaires because we care so much about things like the club and what it stands for and what it does most of the time. And it is that kind of contribution which has been made by so many people today, and that's what we're so proud to be part of.
That's important. Andy, how are you feeling?
I've felt better. I've had a bit of a respiratory illness this week, so it's been a bit of a struggle to get around. But we're nearly there now. So, and I'm delighted to have been a part of my 7th marathon. And hopefully to have completed it if the next 10 minutes go okay.
You're one of the exclusive clubs of 7, as is Kevin, I think. Which is... it just shows how much you value it. The fact that you've been unwell this week and you've come out and still walked 26.2 miles is just, it's credit to you.
Yeah, I mean, I this is, you know, such an important cause. You know, we walked at the end of this walk through Croydon. We walked past the spot in which Eliane Andam was stabbed under just over a week ago. You know, this is an area that suffers from quite a lot of social deprivation, an awful lot of social deprivation, and it's the area that our club is in. And so I can only implore that if you can give, please do, because the programmes that the foundation do, the people that they help, the employment prospects that they bring, the togetherness they're able to engender through things like the disabled football team, all of that stuff makes a real difference to people's lives right now. So give money and give it right now.
And Pat, it's a reminder that Palace are a family club, and not just a family club, but also a socially aware community club. And really, I guess, you know, when it comes to kind of, there's the talking about it, about being a family club and, you know, Palace family and everything else. And there's talking about important kind of values locally and the need for better resources, but there's the doing, and that's what Palace for Life are doing. They're going out into the community, they're trying to do what they can to try and steer people away from things like knife crime, and trying to educate young people and giving them opportunities to be better educated outside of school as well, because a lot of the time it's not, you know, school teaches you the things you need to learn professionally maybe, but it doesn't always teach you about life skills, and that's what Palace for Life do as well. So it is really important that we support this cause, and it's something that we love, isn't it? You're wearing a red and blue shirt, you know, you're carrying the Palace badge on it. There can be no better way of doing that.
Look, the Premier League means a huge amount to kids and young people, and you know, Palace is in the middle of this community, and many of us come from areas outside of directly in Selhurst, and we come here once every 2 weeks. We can maybe go to a pub in the area, and then we maybe go home. But you know, the club is here, and it's this area right here that needs help. And people, you know, who are proud of this area as well, and some of whom come through and even play for the club, like Wilfred Zaha. And this is not like, you know, a sympathy story for the community and the area around the club, but it's a part of all of our lives, and I think we all have a responsibility, those of us who support Crystal Palace, also to support the Palace for Life Foundation, because the two go hand in hand.
Yeah. And it's that the point you make about sympathy is really pertinent, because the club, the Palace for Life Foundation, treat this in a sense that it's not that they're doing things out of... It's kind of, they're called a foundation, not a charity, for a reason. it's not just about kind of, it's not just about throwing money at it in a way that you can say, well, if you, you know, money will fix everything. It's just about actionable things that they can do to try and improve people's lives and to try and give people a lift that they might not have otherwise. And we've heard stories, you know, there was the, there've been stories about some of the people that they've helped. One young lady who was steered away from criminal gang activity, and she, one of her friends was recently killed, and that kind of thing just reminds you, it's a reminder of the impact that Palace for Life can have. And I'll say this, I'm privileged to live where I do and to have the job that I do, but it's important to try and, my attitude to it is, it's important to try and help people achieve that too through ways that are actionable. You know, I don't know if that's...
You make people's lives in London who suffer from deprivation better through two things. One, opportunity, and linked to that, and very much an integral part of it, investment. And the investment can come from people sparing what they possibly can to help the foundation. The foundation is they're the people who do the hard work. They're on the ground. They've got the programmes. They're the ones turning up with the Premier League badge and the Palace badge and showing that brand to the local community and showing it in these wonderful outreach initiatives. But you can all help. Anyone listening to this, it doesn't have to be much money. £1, £5, £10, whatever you can give, give it, and give it right now.
Yeah. Go ahead and do that. We're going to put the Just Giving link in the show notes after this. I would try and catch up with Jesse, but I'm going to do that in a moment. But just, Andy, well done, mate. Congratulations for doing this again.
No,
while being unwell.
Not at all.
And we'll get Jesse in a minute. Right, we're here with Jesse. How you doing, Jesse? How you feeling?
Not too bad, Rob. Thank you for your support at the bookending this walk today. It's my third one. And and for bringing emergency beers as well.
That's the least. There are so many potholes in Croydon. We keep running into them with cameras.
It's okay,
sorry.
It's fine. We're still live.
It's the least I can do is to bring beers to some of my friends. But it's been a challenge, hasn't it, Jesse? You've said that in the last few miles your legs have seized up, and it's just kind of about persevering.
Yeah, and everyone, as always, brings something to the table. So, you know, Kevin's been telling us about tales of the underbelly of London's comedy scene. Julian's been helping us with sightseeing, rating landmarks out of 10.
Making inappropriate jokes.
Yes, lots of dad jokes. Andy Street's been leading the pack and actually telling us which way we're going by spotting red arrows very well. Doesn't need his eyesight check.
Red arrows, you say?
Well, that's what helps us.
It's an aeroplane type. I very much appreciate. That's one for my fans out there.
That's for you, bro.
But one person's missing today.
Oh, yeah.
Who is that?
Well, you have managed to turn up with a toddler. That's incredible work. And seems like we're missing a certain James Daly. If anyone has seen James Daly, he is AWOL, absent without leave, and we're not quite sure why. But I know he's struggled in the past. He's had worn the wrong shoes, like new shoes. He's always worn new shoes, and felt it towards the end. So maybe he's just been put off a little bit this year. But JD, don't give up. We need you back here, because he has been helping out, putting up all the socials, I think. We've just been feeding him with content, and it's actually JD has been putting everything up.
My favourite thing was JD tweeted out something and then accidentally included a link to a tweet of his praising Just Stop Oil, as if that was the sponsor link that people should click on. So
maybe that's where he is.
Yeah, he's at a Just Stop Oil protest. He's pouring orange paint everywhere.
He's ditched the red and blue, traded us in for orange. And we won't forget that, Jim Daly. I know it's autumn and everything.
Causing damage to public property. How about that? But that's a very important cause as well. But we're not gonna cover that one right now. It is the final mile, and I saw on one of the signposts it was 1 mile to go. I think they've got their distances a little bit mixed up, because that's definitely further than 1 mile.
My Strava's on, and I'm on 45k right now, so about 3k over.
Right, but wow, yeah.
I'm putting some of that down to getting two or three helpings of pasta at lunchtime. Yeah, definitely added a kilometre.
You need that though.
Yeah, see me through.
Gotta have those carbs, keep you going.
Yeah, it's been a good route this year. Not too hilly. Apart, you can't avoid the hills around Celeste, as everybody knows. You have to go up a few hills from Celeste Park, but after that, it's been pretty flat.
What would you rank the walk out of 10 this time compared to previous ones?
Funnily enough, usually we've gone through Ladywell before.
Right,
and we've discovered lots of nice pubs. Today, it took us 20k before we went through a park.
Yeah, I noticed that. I really enjoyed the walk that went along the River Wandle,
yeah,
and that led out that way. And that was nice because there were so many parks. But it sounds like this one was a little bit more, I don't know, I guess it's nice to explore new parts of London. I guess so.
It was a good mix.
Yeah,
we went through Ravensbury Park, Watercress Park, Beddington Park, and lots of anglers out there fishing.
Oh yeah.
It's a good sign. So apparently there's some fish in the Wandle. So yeah.
It's all that shit that's going in there.
Yeah, baiting it out like chum.
Yeah. They're like, yeah. I've not had a beef burger for a while.
So it's always great, the Marathon March. I recommend it just to see parts of South London you've never seen before, guaranteed. Beautiful houses, nice little spots and rivers and nooks, so definitely recommend people get involved if they've not done it yet.
You can hear my son angrily grunting at the fact that he wants to take his shoes off, but he can't, so that's him. He's had a really eventful day of sleeping pretty much the entire time. So
he's been a trooper.
Good.
He's been shouting eagles.
He has been shouting.
He's about to get another burst.
Cameron, can you say eagles?
Eagle.
Good job. Can you say palace? That's right. There you go. So we're going to finish there for now. I might try and grab a word with Bobby and Mike from the foundation. And so, yeah, join us in part two if there is a part two. And if not, thank you to everyone that's donated. And if you haven't donated yet and you're listening and you can spare a few pounds, please do. It doesn't have to be much. It can be £1, £2, £3, £4. It can be £100, £500, whatever amount you can afford. But that money is appreciated. Your support is appreciated. It's been encouraging to all of the FYP team. They've really... I think it gives everybody a lift when they see donations come in, and it reminds you of the goodness in people and the support for the community. So, yeah, thank you for that. So,
I agree, Rob. If you listen to this, it's not too late.
That's it.
So don't be afraid to get involved, and great multitasking, Rob.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Right. Hopefully we'll have a part two. Bye-bye. To the five-year plan pod extra following the Marathon March. I'm here with Mike Summers. How are you doing, Mike?
Hi, Rob. Yeah, very well, thank you. Very well. Tired. It's been a long day, but been an amazing day.
Has this been your seventh walk?
It has been my seventh
walk. That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there are a couple of FYP people who've done that as well. And it's just, I was saying to Andy, it just shows the dedication.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a 26-mile walk once a year. So in the grand scheme of things, it's 26 miles. But it's 26 miles and it hurts.
It hurts.
And so to do that and knowing that it hurts and to come back and do it every year, it's a big deal, isn't it?
I think you forget that it hurts because actually the first half of it doesn't hurt.
Right.
It's that last 10 miles, same as running a marathon, you know, the first half is fine. The last half, it really gets to you. But I think by tomorrow morning, everyone will have forgotten about it. And the exuberance around Selhurst Park this evening is just amazing. Everybody's got a smile on their face.
That's it. And you're kind of a living action of leadership in some ways, because I think a lot of the time leaders can maybe tell people what to do, but not actually do the things themselves. And you're basically proving to people that walking... this is important, not just for the community, but also for yourself to actually prove, you know, that the hard work you're doing has value.
Yeah, very nice of you to say so, Rob. And you're right, I mean, I'm a massive believer, as we all are at Palace, in the power of sport and the power of activity, exercise to change lives. And, you know, whether you're a young person, middle-aged person, old person, doing exercise, be it running, walking, playing football or whatever, just has such a positive impact on mental health.
Yeah.
And confidence and building rapport and building friendships, etc. You just have to look at everyone here today.
Yeah.
200 people, every single one's got a smile on their face.
Yeah.
Even if they've been limping for the last 8 hours.
And that's why I was here. Because I it's important to me to be around my friends, but also just, it is a big part of my calendar. Mm. I always look forward to the marathon. Yeah. March. It was a shame that I couldn't do the whole thing. And unfortunately my wife is working. She's in Los Angeles, so we had to kind of manage around it. But my son was really patient and handled it really well. But it was important to be part of that, and also just it there's a great feeling around it.
Yeah.
You know, but from the start, when you see all the people, and you see people that you know that are doing the walk, and you see people that you don't, and you see famous Palace faces. Mark Bright, Andy Johnson did it again this year. I think that was AJ's hat trick, which
it
is not unusual.
AJ,
to Palace.
Yeah, fourth, I think.
Fourth.
Wow, the story with AJ, he did the first two, and then he was going to do the third, and we had all these hats created, these red hats, which were Andy Johnson's magic hat,
right,
for his hat trick, and then he pulled out for the third. But that, and then we had COVID, and then right, the last 2 years he's been back. So it's
amazing.
His fourth. Brighty's done all seven.
That's incredible.
Which is amazing. And don't forget Eddie Izzard. So
yeah,
Eddie out in Los Angeles started running it today at midnight LA time. So simultaneously, when it's 8 o'clock in the morning here, midnight LA time, Eddie ran through the night in Los Angeles.
Such a hero. And just, yeah, just, but and that's the thing, is no matter where you are, if you want to do a marathon walk or run, you can do that too, and you can fundraise for the Palace for Life Foundation. The money is so important, and we've learned in recent weeks how important that is, haven't we, with the awful murder of a young lady in Croydon, very near to the ground, really, in the ground, you know, walking distance, less than a mile.
Yeah, and that really struck home. And we walked on, as we came back through Croydon, we walked past Eliane's school.
Yeah.
We had Eliane's auntie and cousin and uncle here at the ground last week for a minute's applause. So close to everything we're doing here, and so tragic. And you realise, yeah, the work we're doing with young people, be it just going into primary schools and talking about the risks of knife crime,
yeah,
or doing one-to-one mentoring with young people who are been in trouble with the police or are struggling with their mental health, or offering some hope for young people through employability programs. All these things, they're not, there's no silver bullet. It's a massive issue, but we're playing our part. And it's events like this that help us raise more money, which help us bring more staff on board, run more activities, offer more opportunities for young people.
And it's about
and we need to do more and more of it. There's no ceiling to how much we need to do, because the world's a tough place.
It is, especially in places like Croydon. You know, that there are difficulties in Croydon with essentially what there are is pathways to crime.
Yeah.
And what you're doing is pointing those people in different directions and saying, look, there are opportunities and there is hope. And that's the thing that you offer as well, is hope for these young people.
Correct. And we, a lot of young people do our Kicks program, which is the free of charge football program for boys, girls, and we have some targeted for ones for refugees and for people from the Asian community. And it's bringing young people together. We did a big survey, and the feedback we're getting, such positive feedback about how young people were saying they felt, I think the figure was something like 92% more confident about their future after being involved with Palace for Life. Through something as basically simple as playing football or playing sport, just getting young people together doing positive activity.
And it's inclusive as well. You know, we're talking about the disability team, and we're, you know, it's not just about knife crime, which is something that whenever people talk about Croydon, they talk about the kind of the negative aspects of it, but really Palace are kind of a beacon of hope in that, and Palace for Life are the torch that shines up, really.
Totally. So, and we work we don't do it on our own, we work with some amazing local community groups, but we're sitting here now, aren't we, Rob, in Selhurst Park, looking over a Premier League pitch with 25,000 fans come every 2 weeks. We've got people who play football on a global stage. Global household names will come along to our event. We're so lucky to have all those assets that help us open doors that maybe a local charity can't open, doesn't have the resources to open. It's football and Premier League and Crystal Palace really giving that stardust to something that might engage a young person where a school teacher or a social worker or a youth offending officer might just not be able to cut through.
Right.
So if we can use what we're so fortunate to have to make that difference, to break through to that young person, then we've got to do it.
And we started the day on £80,000. Hopefully we'll see nearly 90, maybe even more than that. And people donate after the event as well, don't they? Almost in celebration of the achievements that marathon marchers have made. If you have an opportunity to, if you can afford it, if there is some flexibility in your budget, please consider donating. It does go a long way.
Absolutely, because every donation makes a difference. And it's also about building the networks here. You know, it's meeting new people. It's bringing to the attention of the people who are doing the walk what Palace for Life Foundation does, what impact we're having. We have a program called Playmakers where we bring Palace fans in who have got specific skills. So, for example, Mark Silverstein, you know, he's a hotshot lawyer and he wants to give back to the organisation, so he'll help us with legal work, for example.
Right.
So we're always on the lookout for Palace fans who've got particular skills that we won't have in-house, we can't afford in-house, but we can then bring in on a voluntary basis to help make a difference.
And if anyone has those skills and would like to reach out to you, would that be best place to start? Is the Palace for Life Foundation website?
Yeah, 100%, and get in contact with us and say, yeah, I'd like to get involved with the foundation to volunteer my time or volunteer my expertise. We're always on the lookout for people who can help build us. You know,
yeah.
We're a team of around 50 staff, which makes us a medium-sized charity in our own right. But with 50 staff, you're not going to have experts in every single area. I had a brilliant conversation today with Pete Trainer, and Pete Trainer is an AI expert. And
yep.
Pete knew before any of the rest of us did that this thing called ChatGPT was going to come along, and it's going to potentially change the world, maybe in a good way, maybe not in a good way.
Yeah.
But just to have people like that who can then come and lend their expertise to both our staff and to local young people, is such a valuable asset for us.
It is. Well, Mike, thank you again for organising this event, for giving the Palace fans that take part something to look forward to and to kind of build themselves towards, and you know, for just giving Croydon and South London some hope, I think, for especially young people who need it the most at this time.
Yeah.
So
brilliant, Rob, and great that you are here again, and great to have the support of all the 5-year plan people and supporters
100%
throughout the year.
Yeah, absolutely, we're always here for Palace for Life. So
all right,
thank you very
much.
Thanks, Mike. Take care.
Podcast Network.